I'd like to discuss a subject that is tossed around quite a lot in the Maseches Yevamos, the subject of Zika. Yesh Zika, and Ein Zika. Specifically now we'll discuss the Shita of Yesh Zika. And what happens to Zika after Chalitza and Yibam are done. This is the sugya that is so broad and touches upon so many different Gemaras that it's hard to tie it down to any particular daf. On daf Chavav on the base, one of the key note sugyas appears. But throughout what we've learned until now, and even a few scattered sugyas afterwards, the subject comes up. The point that I'd like to discuss more in depth is retroactive repealing of Zika. Time travel has always intrigued people, being able to go back and change the world so that it'll be an entirely different world from what we experience now, retroactively, as if the world that we experienced at one point, suddenly we experience it differently. It's a strange concept, and it comes up in a few different halachic discussions. One of them is Hataras Nedarim, where we could retroactively remove a Nedar as if there never was a Nedar. And because there never was a Nedar, other things that happened since the time of the Nedar could change also along with the Nedar. We remove the Nedar retroactively so that it's like pulling out the bottom of a pile of blocks so that the whole pile of blocks comes tumbling down afterwards. Well, by Zika, we find such a concept as well. If we say Yesh Zika, meaning that there is an Iser, Zika creates an Iser similar to Ishus, similar to marriage, it can be removed retroactively and change various halachas in its way, like pulling out the block on bottom and everything else comes tumbling down. We'll start with an example of this on Daf Mem Amud Beis to put things into context. And then the Mishnah says on the bottom of Amud Aleph, "Hacholetz liyavimto, who also bekrovaser, vihi asura bekrovav." The person does chalitza to his yivama, he still remains asur to all the krovos, to all the relatives of the yivama. He becomes asur, remains asur to all the krovos, all the relatives of the yivama. So machlokes whether this is the isur deraisa. Issa Drabanan, most opinions hold this Issa Drabanan. Similar to the Isurim that come through Zika. Let's define Yesh Zika before we go any further. Yesh Zika means the following. When a woman falls to Yibum, her husband dies, and he has no children, all the brothers of the husband have an obligation to either do Yibum to this woman or do Chalitz to this woman. As soon as one of the brothers does Yibum or Chalitz to the woman, the woman is free, the brothers are free, and the Zika, meaning the connection between the brothers of the dead husband and the Yevama, has ended. If the man who died without children was married to a number of wives, which is permissible min haTorah, all of those wives have to wait for either Yevam or Chalitza from any of the brothers to any of the wives. The moment that one of the brothers does chalitza or yibam to one of the wives, all the women are freed from the Zika, meaning that from now on they're allowed to marry. During the period of Zika, a woman is not allowed to marry. A yavama who is zikuka, the yavam, who is waiting for chalitza or yibam, is not allowed to get married to anyone besides one of the brothers of the yavam or of the yavam until he either does chalitza or does yibam. The Torah tells us, "Osia Eishes Sameis Achutzal Leishdar." She's not allowed, if his sister love for her to get married to anyone else, even though she's not really married now. Her husband has died. Nevertheless, the Torah says she's prohibited to marry anyone else. She must have either Yibam or Chalitza from one of the brothers, or one of her tsaros, meaning one of the other co-wives, must have either Yibam or Chalitza from one of the brothers of her husband, one of the Yevamim. The the Amoraim, the Tanaim, argue whether there's a din of Zika, Yesh Zika, Shri Al-Machlokas Amoraim, whether, and the Machlokas Tanaim, whether we say there's such a thing as Zika, to that will, meaning, what's the mean Yesh Zika? Obviously there is such a thing as Zika, meaning that we said the Yavama is not allowed to get married to anyone besides the Yavam until she has either Yibam or Chalitza. In what sense do we say Ein Zika, meaning that there is no Zika, or Yesh Zika, there is Zika? We mean is as follows. Certainly there is something called Zika that ties the Yavama to the Yavam, or to a number of Yavamim, a number of Yavamas to a number of Yavamim. However, is this Zika strong enough to create an Ishus, meaning a familial bond, a man and wife bond between the Yavam and the Yavama? If it is strong enough, then the Yavam is prohibited to marry any of the relatives of the Yavama, just like he's not allowed to marry the relatives of his wife, meaning he's not allowed to marry his wife's sister or daughter or mother, so too he's not allowed to marry his Yavama's sister, daughter, or mother. Even though she was never married to him, because of Zika, we look at it as though they're married. Most of the Tanaim and Amoraim hold that if there is such a thing as Zika, it's only Midrabanan. There is a Mishnah that discusses Zika in terms of Hataras Madarim, which the Gemara brings, and Yudches Amid Beis, and Yudzayin Amid Beis, the Rishonim bring it. That might be, there might be opinions there that hold the Zika even Dairaisa. The Rishonim discuss that. But most of the time when we see Yesh Zika, we're discussing a Zika Drabanan, meaning that the bond between the Yavam and Yavama isn't strong enough to really prohibit the relatives of the Yavama and the Yavam according to the Torah. But according to the Rabbanan, Yesh Zika, the Rabbanan instituted that the bond is strong enough to be looked at as though they're man and wife. And therefore all the Yavamim are also to the wife, the sisters, daughters, and mothers of all the Yavamos. That's what we mean when we say Yesh Zika. By a chalutza, meaning if one Yavam did chalitza with one of the Yavamos, certainly the Yavam becomes usher to all the krovos of the chalutza. That certainly creates a certain bond, as if he divorced her, and midrabanan we say that the man is usher and the daughter, sister, and mother of the chalutza. That we do say by chalutza. But not by necessarily by regular Zika. If you say Yesh Zika, then even by a regular Zika, meaning before Yivam or Chalitz is performed, all the Yavamim are also to all the Yavamos' relatives with the Isser that they have to the wives' relatives, which means that this Isser of Chalitz would be extended even to a Yavama. Says the Mishnah, Chalitz Levim Tahu Asa B'Krovaseh V'Hi Asur B'Krovav. If someone does Chalitza to a Yavama, he is also Midrabanan to the relatives of the Yavama, she is usher to his relatives as well. Meaning that the husband's brother from the mother's side is not allowed to marry this chalutza of his brother, even though she was never really married to his brother. Who usher be'imo ve'emim ve'emo via uvevita uvevas bito uvevas bina uvevachaisa bizman she kayemes. As long as she's alive, the Yavam is Asur and the sister is Chalutza also. V'ha'achim mutarin, and the brothers are mutar. All the brothers, meaning the Yavam's brothers, are mutar to the Yavama's, the Chalutza's relatives, her daughter, sister, and mother. V'yasur ba'aviv, v'aviv, v'vnav, v'venvnav, v'achiv, v'venachiv. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The brothers of the Yavam, meaning the brothers of the Cholets, are permitted to marry any of the relatives of the Chalutza. They have no bond to the Chalutza. They're finished with her. The Mishnah continues, says, Mutar dem bekreves tzaret Chalutza. So the Chalutza is also permitted to marry any of the relatives of the tzaros of the Chalutza. So we see that the brothers are permitted, the brothers of the, if you have the Cholets and the Chalutza, the brothers of the Cholets are permitted to the relatives of the Chalutza, and the co-wives, the Tzaros of the Chalutza are permitted, their relatives are permitted to the Cholets. They themselves are prohibited because of the separate Isser by Zechor Ubayna Venevayn Shnei Batzim. But the relatives of the Tzaros of the Chalutza are permitted to the Cholets, and the relatives of the Chalutza are permitted to the brothers of the Cholets. Now, why should this be? If we say Yesh Zika, ask the Achronim, if we say Yesh Zika, then that means that while the Yavam did not yet perform Chalitza to the Chalutza, to the Yavama, at that point, all of the brothers were prohibited to marry any relative of this Yavama, because this Yesh Zika, they're considered married to a certain extent, until, right, they're prohibited to marry one of the relatives of the Yavama, because of the Isra of Zika, and yet we see that after one brother does Chalitza, all the other brothers become permitted to those same relatives of this Chalutza. What happens? How could that happen? If we say Yesh Zika, that means that there's a familial bond, that they were married. These Yavams were all married to this Yavama or to all the Yavamas. They have a virtual marriage. If they're virtually married, then why should they become permitted to the relatives of this woman after one of the brothers does Chalitza? What are you going to say? It's, well, Chalitza is like a divorce. It ends that relationship to all the other brothers, and to that, even to the Cholitz as well. Okay, it ends it. But still, if you divorce your wife, you are not permitted to marry her daughter, sister, mother. Why is it that after Chalitza, the brothers of the Cholitz now become permitted to marry the daughter, sister, and mother? This question is compounded by the Gemara and Daf Yizayin on the base and your test of an Aleph. Over there, there's an opinion of Yehuda Meshemeres Yavam Shemesa also Be'ima Alma Kasava Yesh Zika. Gemara says if you hold Yesh Zika, then when a Yavama dies, the Yavam, or Yivmin, as many as there are, remain prohibited in the daughter, sister, or mother of that Yavama, if you hold Yesh Zika. Which means that even though the Yavama, well, the sister, they're permitted, but the daughter and the mother of the Yavama who died remain prohibited to the Yavam, even though she's dead, there's no more Zika. I mean, the relationship ended if he would be married to her. So she died, they're no longer married. Nevertheless, we have a rule that after the death of a wife, a person remains prohibited to marry the wife's mother or daughter. If so, after the death of Yavama, the Yivman remain prohibited to marry the Yavama's daughter or mother. If so, the same thing should apply after Chalitza. What's the difference between Chalitza and Misa? Here we see that after the Misa of the Yavama, you are prohibited to marry the Yavama's relatives, daughter and mother. Why after Chalitza of the Yavama do the brothers of the Cholets become permitted to marry the daughter and mother of this Yavama, of this Chalutza? Why don't they remain prohibited? Because at one point they had Zika, they were married, and they remain prohibited forever. Even after that marriage, the virtual marriage of Zika is finished, through Misa or through Chalitza, they should remain prohibited. What's the difference between Misa and Chalitza? So the Rishonim actually discussed this question, and some more openly, some less openly. Even Rashi discusses this. Rashi says on Zafir Chesam Ebeis, he's discussing, let's see it in the Mishnah itself, he's discussing a Mishnah that's quoted later on Nemal Chomer Aleph, and Rashi over there speaks it out as well. Let's see what it says over there on Nemal Chomer Aleph, the source of the Gemara and Yechasim Ebeis. The Mishnah says Shemeres Yavam Shekidish Alkavis Achaisa. This is a Shemeres Yavam means Yavama, and she's Yavama to a number of different Yivmin. There are two brothers of her dead husband. One of the brothers of the dead husband is Mekadesh, the sister of the Yavama. If you say Yesh Zika, that's a no-no. He's not allowed to do that. But what happens after that? We say that if the Yavam, the second Yavam, was Mekadesh, the sister of the Yavama, he no longer could do Yivam, because now he was Mekadesh, the sister of the Yavama, and the Yavama became Asa to him as an Achos Isha. But we say that since he only did Kedusha and not Nesu'in, the wife that he was Mekadesh is also prohibited to him. Because if we say Yesh Zika, then he is still considered bonded to the Yavama, and he's not allowed to finish the marriage to this woman, the sister of the Yavama, because she's the sister of his virtual wife through Zika. So therefore, the Rav Yehuda ben Maaser says, "Amam lo hamtein ad shi'asa achicha ma'isa." Rav Yehuda ben Maaser says, "Yesh zika," and therefore hamtein, the brother who married the sister of the Islama must wait before finishing the marriage with the nisuin until the brother who is not married to a sister of the Islama does yivum. Question is, what does that help? So the brother that's mutter to the Ivama does yivum. Okay, but if you say yesh zika, then the second brother was once considered to be married to this woman who is the sister of his wife. Why is he allowed to marry and do nisuin with the wife if he was prohibited to do nisuin with the wife before? Because he's considered to be has to have a virtual marriage to her sister, so he's not allowed to keep this woman. He has to get rid of her. He has to at least wait until the Yibam, then even after the Yibam of his brother does Yibam with the Yivama, it should still be prohibited for him to marry his wife, because he was once married to the sister of this woman, even if the marriage no longer exists, but the Chayel, she's still alive, the Yivama is still alive, and we have a loch in the Torah, that once you are married to a woman, you are never ever allowed to marry the sister of that woman as long as the first one's alive. As long as the Yivama is alive, the Yivam who was Makadish, the sister of that Yivama, should not be able to finish the marriage with that sister, because his once virtual wife, Ruzika, is still alive. What does it help for another brother who's not married to a sister to do Yibam? That shouldn't help the one that did marry the sister. Rashi in the Mishnah Memal from an Aleph addresses this as well in Chesed on the base, and he says, Hante mi lichnos de pogatza ba chayis de kuka. Don't marry this woman that you're makadish because she's a chosukuka. And she has a maisa. She yichnesu ha achin es hayevama. Yachlesu. Until one of the brothers says either yibam or chalitza. Vetei oker zikosa mimcha. And that will uproot the zika from you. The key over here is vetei oker. It'll uproot. It's not just the tafzika zika, but vetei oker. Apparently what happens is, once one of the brothers does Yibum, or Chalitza, Rashi says, that uproots the Zika from all the other brothers. So, what we see happening over here is, that once the brother is mutter to do Yibum to this woman, to the Yivama, does Yibum, then the other brother who married the sister of that woman is now considered not to ever have had any relationship to the Yivama. Yibum uprooted the Zika retroactively, and Chalitza uprooted the Zika retroactively, as if it never was. It removes it entirely. It takes it away entirely. That is what's happening through Yibam and Chalitza. It takes away from the other brothers the Yibam, the Zika that they had, as if there never was a relationship between them and this Yivama, or any of the Tzaros. The other brothers now never had anything to do with this woman. It's not only that they ended the relationship with this woman, but it was uprooted as if it never was. We're oikar the Zika l'mafreya. We're removing the Zika as if they never were married to the Yivama, and therefore the one who married the sister of the Yivama could not happily marry the sister of the Yivama. That's also what the mission we started with means on Mem HaMadeis, that any of the brothers of the Yavam, of the Cholitz, can now marry relatives of the Chalutza, because the Chalutz has uprooted the Zika from the other brothers retroactively. He's uprooted it and made it as if they never had a relationship to the Chalutza. They could therefore marry the mother, the daughter, the sister of the Chalutza, because they never had a Zika anymore. It's as if they never had an Ishus, a virtual Ishus to this Yivama anymore. It was uprooted retroactively. Similarly, the Cholitz himself is permitted to the Tzaros, to the relatives of the Tzaros of his Chalutza, not to the Tzaros themselves, Kivin Shalabana, Shuvlo Yivne, but to the relatives of the Tzaros he's permitted, even though they once was a Zika, he had a Zika to them. Once he does Chalitza to one of the women, all the other women had nothing to do with him. It's as if they never saw him, it's as if they never had a relationship with him. The same thing happens with Yibam. However, with Yibam, he becomes usher, of course, to the relatives of the now wife through Yibam, because she's his wife. But the relatives of the Tzara the relatives of the Tzoros are permitted to him. We see, so what we have seen is that Chalitza by one of the brothers to one of the sisters ends any relationship of Zika that once existed between the other brothers and the other sisters. Same thing with Yibam. Yibam of one of the brothers to one of the sisters retroactively ends the relationship to any of the other brothers and sisters as if they were never related, and therefore they can marry the relatives of each other because they never were related. They never had an Ishus. Retroactively we uproot the entire Ishus. A similar concept is used and that should chess on the base by the Rishonim. This concept, they apply it to the Svara of Rav Aishia, who holds Zika Kiknusa, according to one Shita, according to Rav Aishia. Rav Aishia holds Zika Kiknusa according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that a person is sometimes mutter to marry Aisha Sachar Shaloya Bo'alamo. And it's not clear exactly when. Rav Aishia says that even in a case where you have a brother Reuven who dies childless, right? His brother Shimon does Yibam with the wife of Reuven, right? And we say Rav Shimon holds that afterwards, if Levi is born afterwards, and then Shimon dies, Levi could do Yibam to the wife of Shimon. Rav Aishia says even if Levi is born after Reuven died and before Shimon did Yibam. Reuven died, leaves over a wife, and Levi's born. Levi's not allowed to do Yibam to Reuven's wife. Eishas Avah Shaloya Balama. She's Eishas Avah Shaloya Balama. He's not allowed to do Yibam. Nevertheless, if Shimon does Yibam to her, then Levi can now do Yibam to that same woman after Shimon dies. Why is that? Why don't you say, Koli Vama Shenesra, Shah Achas, becomes Asura Olamis. Once she becomes Asura and the brother, she's not allowed to marry one of the Yavanim. She becomes like Harei Ke'esha Safshi'esha Banim, and she's Asura Olamis. Why don't you say that? We don't say that, the Gemara says, because Zika Kiknusa. Because at the time that Levi was born, Shimon had Zika to the wife of Reuven. There was a relationship of Zika between Shimon and the wife of Reuven. Because of that relationship, we say that it's as if Shimon is actually married. Midaraisa. This is a big chiddush, but Rav Aishia is saying that even midaraisa, we say that there's a marriage between Shimon and this Yavama. There's some sort of a palpable relationship, a real ishus between Shimon and the Yavama. And therefore, it's as if Shimon's already married. Shimon already did Yibam, so to speak, with that woman. That's how we look at it. And therefore, when Shimon dies, we could say Levi never really had a situation where he was usher to this woman, because from the moment he was born, even though Shimon didn't yet do Yibam, Shimon had a relationship to this woman, and it was a relationship midaraisa, and therefore she was omedes liyibam, she was going to fall to Yibam to Levi after Shimon would die, and therefore we say she's muteres to Levi after Shimon dies. The Gemara says that what is the case of Eishes Avah Shaloya Bo'alamo according to Rav Shimon? The case of Eishes Avah Shaloya Bo'alamo is when there's only one brother who dies and then afterwards a brother is born, and there's no way for him to do Yibam. Then there's clearly no way for him to do Yibam. But the Gemara says there's another case. What about if there's another brother? Is there ever a case of Eishes Avah Shaloya Bo'alamo? It says yes, the case would be when there's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and Levi is born, and Shimon and Levi are both there. Can Levi do Yibam? Levi cannot do Yibam because of Eishes Avah Shaloya Bo'alamo. That's the answer. Now, it's true that we said that really if she's considered to be married to Shimon, and therefore after Shimon dies, then Levi could do Yibam. However, before Shimon does Yibam, then Levi certainly can't do Yibam. The Gemara, now it's clear from the Gemara that that's learned from a pasuk Yeshu Achim Yachtov. Ask the Rishonim, what do you need a pasuk Yeshu Achim Yachtov? If you say that when Levi is born, the Yibam is considered to be married already to Shimon, so she's married, she's Eishes Ish, So how could Levi do Yibum to this woman? Forget about the Isservation Sakov Shalayba Alamo. Levi should not have to not be able to do Yibum to this woman, not just because of the Pasuk that says Kieshu Akam Yatav, that he was born after Reuven died, so he can't do Yibum. It should be prohibited for him to do Yibum to this woman because she's married to Shimon. Because Zika Kiknusa, there's a relationship that's considered marriage over here. That relationship is what permits him to marry Shimon's wife, meaning this woman that Shimon was with Yavim, after Shimon dies. So it should also prohibit him from marrying the woman after when he's born, before Shimon does Yibum. Why do we need a Pasuk? Answers the Rashba and the Rishonim. They answer that, had there not been a Pasuk, I would have thought that Yibum is now Chal. Yibum is now Chal. Zika is now Chal on Levi. Levi suddenly, when he's born, the moment he's born, he draws over a Zika, and once he draws over a Zika, he's allowed to do Yibum to this woman, because when he does Yibum, it'll uproot, retroactively, the Kenisa that she had to Shimon. Although, before Levi was born, she was Kenusa to Shimon. Once Levi's born, his Zika spreads out, and now he could do Yibum, and he won't be Pogea Be'eshes Shimon, because when he says Yibum, that shows that she's his wife. She's no longer Shimon's wife. Even if there's a din of Zika Dairais over here, Zika Kiknusa, when he does Yibum to one of, Levi does Yibum, Levi could be born afterwards, can have Zika take effect, and have the right to remove retroactively that Zika Kiknusa to Shimon. In fact, that is exactly what happens whenever there are three brothers. Whenever, let's say, Reuben dies and he has three brothers, any one of the brothers can do Yibum, even though she's Kiknusa right now to all the brothers, she's considered Knusa. Even when there's two brothers, we say she's Kiknusa. Nevertheless, we will not say that she's Kiknusa to prohibit her to one of the brothers by saying, well, she's married to your other brother. She's married to your other live brother. She's Eishes Ach Mechayim. We don't do that, because once he does, he could do Yibum, and by doing so, he's retroactively removing the Zika from the other brothers, and thereby permitting himself to marry her, and he will be the only one that will have Zika. He could uproot even the Zika Kiknusa, which is a Zika Dairaisa type of Zika that's Dairaisa. So again, we see that Zika could be removed retroactively, and here we have that further Chiddush, that even if you say Zika Kiknusa, could be removed retroactively. That's what we see in the Rishonim and Zafik Tes. Now, do we find such a thing by Chalitza also? Will Chalitza also accomplish a retroactive kinyan, as if they were married back from the time that the husband died, meaning that immediately at the time that the childless man died, it's considered as if the brother who did chalitza later was already performed chalitza. So the chalitza is considered as if he ended the zika retroactively from the time that his brother died, if he does chalitza even a month or a year or 10 years later. So we say that just like we said by Yibum here. Over here, we have an interesting Chiddush of the Rashash. And this is on Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing Anusas Aviv and Mefutzas Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda Eiser b'Anusas Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda learns from a pasuk that Anusas Aviv is Aser to a person. And Chachamim say that pasuk is not talking about Anusas Aviv, it's talking about Shomeres Yavim Shel Aviv. Shemaris Yavim Sha'av Vakasa Madaber. It means a woman that once fell to Yibum to your father, she was once to Yavam as your father, she becomes Asa to you with the Isra Lav, even though she's not married to the father. But Knaf Aviv, learning from the Pasuk, Leigala Knaf Aviv, Knaf Aviv is Knaf Haroi Lo Leigala. As the Gemara was typically Misham Dodazan, she's your aunt. She was married to a brother of your father before she fell to Yibum. So she should be also besides this lav because of the dasa. You're right. You have two lavim. The pasuk is just giving you a second lav because she was shemaris yavim to your father. She comes also from the second lav. Typically, mishum yivam alushuk. So why do you say she's also because of yivam alushuk? Why do you say she becomes also because of the isra of yivam alushuk? What do we say? Meaning that she's anyhow also. She's not allowed to marry. You're not allowed to marry this woman that's shemaris yavim of your father because she's the Yavama right now. Gemara says, "Lava lo b'shleish lavim." The evil is aim al achamisa. The pasuk's mechadesh, and even after the father dies, and now she's no longer shomeres yavim shalaviv, then we will say she still remains usher to the son because of the iser of legal knas of him, even after the father dies. Now, it's clear why the Gemara didn't say that the chiddush is after the father was miyaben, right? Then she becomes, she still remains aser. After the father's miyaben, she becomes aishas of him. It's a new lav. We're trying to avoid adding lavim. So we have to say that the father died, he didn't do yibum. But why didn't we say that the father did chalitza? Why didn't we say that after the father does chalitza, she's still also to the son because of the sister of Shemeres Yavim Shalaviv? There's no issue for him to marry chalutzas Aviv. He's a, just like the brothers aren't to us, the son certainly isn't us to marry chalutzas Aviv. So why didn't the Gemara say that the pasuk is mechadesh over here? The pasuk is mechadesh over here that there's an iser lav to marry Shemeres Yavim Shel Aviv even after the father performs chalitza. Why did it have to say that's after the father dies? The Rishash wants to say that the reason is because chalitza will help retroactively. If chalitza helps retroactively, then she never was a Shemeres Yavim to the father. It's as if the father did chalitza the very second, the very moment that his brother died, and she never became a Shemeres Yavam. If so, that would release the son from the Isser of Kanaf Aviv, Kanaf Aroi La'aviv. She never was Aroi La'aviv. From the moment that his father, from the moment that the woman fell to his father, she already was a chalitza, and therefore she never was a Shemeres Yavam Shalaviv. And the pasuk will not prohibit the chalitza Aviv, the pasuk prohibiting Shemeres Yavam Shalaviv. That is what the Rishash wants to suggest. That chalitz is also going to work retroactively as if it happened back at the time that she fell to Yibum. It happened right from the beginning. Now this is a tremendous chiddush. And I'm going to show, I'd like to show that Rav Gusman talked about a similar chiddush from Rav Chaim Eiser. Rav Chaim Eiser Gazevsky wrote in Achiezer a similar chiddush, that at least according to Yerushalmi, chalitza can help l'mafreya. But Rav Gusman said they asked a very strong question on that from a Mishnah in Kedushin. So I want to get to the Mishnah in Kedushin, which seems to show that chalitza does not work retroactively, and at the same time discuss another question about retroactive repealment of Zika. That question is, will chalitza be repealed retroactively through Misas Hayavam or Misas Hayavama? The sugya that discusses this is on Yizayin Amadei to Chesam and Aleph. We see over there, the Gemara says, Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, Aser Be'ima, Amakasava Yesh Zika. Here it says, Shemeres Yavam, meaning that if the Yavama dies, the Yavam remains prohibited to marry the Yavama's mother or daughter. Now, we know that if the brother of the Yavam does Yibum, then, in other words, one of the other Yavam does Yibum, then this Yavam, who did not do Yibum, becomes permitted to the Yavam's mother and daughter. That's the Mishnah on Daf Mem on the base. Yet we see that Mesa, if the Yavama dies, then the Yavam, all the Yavamim who never did Yibum because the Yavama died, are prohibited to the daughter and the mother of the Yavama. This seems to clearly show that Zika will not be repealed retroactively, it will not be retracted retroactively through Misas Hayavama. And that's what the Gemara speaks out. Gemara says, Hada Amina, that I would think La'acha Misa Pokala Zika. After Misa, Zika can retroactively be removed. Kamash Malon. The Hada Amina is much clearer now. We see that Zika usually is retroactively removed after Yibam, Chalitza. Yibam even works itself retroactively, and maybe Chalitza, maybe Misa, so Yibam should do the same. Why should it do the same? We never had a completion of the Zika through Yibam or Chalitza. Rav Gusman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained the reason that we would think that Misa retroactively removes the Zika, whereas why should it stop the Zika? Zika remains. Why should it remove the Zika? Zika could remain. He brought down a Tesis on Tzadayin Amaralf that discusses a Yavama who was accepted Kedushin from another person, Yavama Lashuk, who accepted Kedushin. She's now an Ashes Ish. If she's Ashes Ish, the Yavam can't marry her, obviously. That's also. Will that will that stop the Zika or not? Tosfos says that since she could receive a get from her husband, Zika is not stopped. However, in another case, he discusses the case of one of the Yivama marrying the sister of the Yivama. Over there, Tosfos says the Yibam automatically stops because there's no way to get rid of it. There's no way, the only way that he'll be permitted in the Yivama is if the wife dies, and that's he can't have control over. Tosfos says that whenever Zika is in a situation where it cannot be completed, Tosfos says that if it cannot be completed, then Pokal Zika. And here he's discussing Hafka Zika Lamafreya. Says the Zika would be Mafia. Over here also, if the Yavama dies, since it's impossible, and that's a Yibam Achlisa, Pokal Zika. That should end the Zika and retroactively remove it. This is the Gemara Bavli. Tosfos, in fact, on the bottom of Yizayinim Adays, goes so far as saying, it's not real havamina that Zika can retroactively be removed, retracted, after the death of the Yavama. It's not even a real havamina, Tosfos says, even though the Gemara says that there's a chiddush here, it doesn't really mean it's a chiddush. The Achrayim points out that the Yerushalmi not only considers it an option, it considers it to be the true option. And the Yerushalmi says that with the death of the Yavama, or the death of the Yavama, Yavam, Zika is repealed, Lamafreya. The Yishalmi says, the Yishalmi is brought down, it's in Yavamas, Chayit Beis, Halacha Aleph, it's discussed at length in the Naim Yishalmi, and Emek Yeshua, it's far written by Avital Choref, a tremendous fucking Yishalmi, and also by the Ar Sameach in his Kuntra Zika, in the beginning of Kuntra Zika. Another Achim is a phenomenal book in Yerushalmi, and they discuss at length the sheets of the Yerushalmi, that Zika is retroactively removed through the Misa. Yerushalmi over there says that in the case of Eshes Abishal Lo Hayav Olama, if Reuven dies after his Levi is born, and then Shimon dies without doing Yibam. Shimon dies without doing Yibam. In that case, we say that Levi is not permitted to do Yibam to this woman that Reuven left over, because she's Eishes Avos Shel Hayav Olamo. But he is permitted to do Yibam to Shimon's wife. As the Gemara, what do you mean? She's Tzaras, Eishes Avos Shel Hayav Olamo, b'Zika. She was the Tzara of Reuven's wife through Zika. If you say Yesh Zika, then at the time she fell to Shimon, Reuven's wife fell to Shimon, she became a Tzara of Shimon's wife. And if so, when Shimon's wife falls now to Levi, why should she be permitted? She Tzaras, Eishes Avos Shel Hayav Olamo, b'Zika. And says Yerushalmi, Yivim to Shemesa, 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 Mutar v'Ima. And the reason that you're allowed to marry the mother of the Yavama after the Yavama dies is because Paka Zika Mafreya. And if so, also, if the Yavam dies, if Shimon dies, Paka Zika Mafreya. It's as if he never had Zika to the Yavama of Reuven. And therefore, Shimon's wife is falling from Shimon and has no connection whatsoever to Reuven's wife, because retroactively, the Zika that Shimon had to Reuven's wife is removed. That is what the Yishalmi says. Whether the Yavama dies, whether the Yavam dies, retroactively Zika is removed. It's a wonderful chiddush, and it changes around the whole Masechta Yavamas. And like I said, the Zachreinim, Vaizel Charef, and Rameir Simcha of Tvinz go through this at great length and discuss the Shitas of Yishalmi and how it affects so many different cases in Yavamas. There's another Yishalmi in Kedushin. The Mishnah in Kedushin, Samach Bezim and Aleph, says Makadesh Haimilisha Haret Makadeshli Laakha She Yomas Bailech. She's married. I want to be Makadeshir that it should the Kedushin should take effect the moment her husband dies. It doesn't work. A Makadesh Dava Shaloya Bailam. She is not yet in a state where she could be Makudeshas, therefore she, even though she will reach such a state, perhaps, she's considered Dava Shaloba Lailam, Kedushin's Nachal. Same thing, Lakshat Tumas HaChaisech. If I'm married to a sister, I say that after your sister dies, I want the Kedushim to take effect with you. It's Tumas Shalai Bayim, and I cannot be Mekanasher, even such that it should take effect afterwards, if at this moment she's in a state where a Kedushim cannot be Chal with her. La'achah Shalach Yachol Eslach Yidmech also Ein Mekudeshes. I want Kedushim to take effect after your Vomer performs Chalitza to you. Also, the Kedushim will not work, because right now I cannot make Kedushim to her. Rashi says over here, Kesover Haitana in Kedushim Tarsim B'Yivam L'Shuk. This Tana holds Kedushim cannot take effect Yivam L'Shuk, just like to Eishes Ish. This is a special Vibu in the Pasuk, even though it's Isur Lav, she cannot be Mekabel Kedushim, therefore I cannot be Mekadosh a Yivam L'Shuk, even such that it should take effect after she receives Chalitza. Why did the Mishnah say La'achah She'yachlos L'chi Yivmech? Why didn't it continue the same pattern? La'achah She'yomos Yivmech. Just like it says La'achah She'yomos Bailech, La'achah She'yomos Achaisech, say La'achah She'yomos Yivmech. I want to be Mekadosh a woman after Yavam dies. Kedushim is not going to take effect. Rav Guzman Zechasanot Lebrocha asked this question and said that he found it in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in a few places, in Perek Gimel of Yivam Mestech HaLachavav, talks about that. And also Yerushalmi in Kedushin over there talks about that. And the Yerushalmi answers that La'achah she'yomus yivmech, Kedushin would be chal. It's not the same as La'achah she'yomus bailech, where Kedushin is chal because it's the Torah shelo b'loilom. La'achah she'yomus yivmech, Kedushin would be chal. Now why is that? How could that be? Why should Kedushin be chal La'achah she'yomus yivmech? What's the difference between that and La'achah she'yomus bailech? In either case, right now, the woman is the Torah shelo b'loilom. She cannot have Tfisas Kedushin. Just like La'achah she'tachlos yivmech, we say, the Kedushin is chal because at this stage, the Yevoma cannot have Tfisas Kedushin. La'achah she'yomus yivmech should be the same. Says the Tal Torah, and Yerushalmi Yevoma Speis Aleph, and says the some other Achrayim also. Osameich also says it's in Hilchos Ishus Perek Zayin Halach Yud Aleph, and the Naim Yerushalmi over there explained that the Yerushalmi is a Shitasai. The Yerushalmi holds that Yibum is retracted retroactively through Mises Haba Hayavam, and if so, La'achah She'yomus Yivmech Kedushin would work, because after the Yavam dies, then retroactively we'll say there never was any Zika. If there's only one Yavam and he dies, then there's no other Zika to be to keep this woman tied down. And if that Zika is removed retroactively, then from the time that her husband died, we now retroactively can say she really was a Tavash HaYavam. She could have had Kedushin. And if so, La'achah She'yomus Yivmech Kedushin will work, because retroactively Zika is being removed, and even the Isser of Yivam HaLashuk is being removed. And La'achah She'tachlos Yivmech, then we'll say the Kedushin will not be chal, because it's on a Tavash HaYavam. This is a beautiful, beautiful Chiddush, and this is showing that not only Zika Drabanan can be removed retroactively, but the Zika to Eiraisa, the Zika, the whole Musig of Yivam HaLashuk, of Losiya Eishas HaMeis HaChutza, can be retroactively removed through the Mises HaYavam. Again, we're seeing a case where retroactively the Zika could be removed, even in a way that affected Deiraisa, like we mentioned by Zika Kiknusa. And here, it's being removed entirely because of the Mises HaYavam, according to Yerushalmi. The Mishnah, however, also seems to show La'achah She'yachlos Yachi Yivmech Kedushin will not be chal. Why not? Why won't Kedushin be chal La'achah She'yachlos Yachi Yivmech? Why don't you say the same svara? Why don't you say La'achah She'yachlos Yachi Yivmech that the Chalitza helps retroactively? And if it helps retroactively, like your Chaim Eidus said, like your Shash said, then we should say that the man that was Mekadosh this woman and said La'achah She'yachlos Yachi Yivmech was Mekadosh a woman that was did have Tfisas Kedushin, because she had Chalitza from the moment her husband died. And at the time that another person came and said, I want to be Mekadosh you, at that time she already was retroactively shown to be ready for Kedushin. Apparently, Kedushin does not work retroactively. And this is the raya that Rav Guzman had to show that Chalitza does not work retroactively, unlike the Rishash perhaps. For the Gemara on Sadek Zion, it's why didn't it mention La'achah She'yachlos Yachi Yivmech? maybe it holds like a Rekiva, that Chalitza, Chalutzas Kechnusa, and therefore it would be like Eishes Aviv, the woman would be like Eishes Aviv after Chalitza, and therefore there would be a new lav. For the other reasons, but from this Mishnah it seems very clear that Chalitza does not work retroactively, at least on a Zeraita level. One other sugya I'd like to tie in here is the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis in Yevamos, where we bring Machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Over there, the Gemara says, what happens when one of the brothers of the Cholets makes the Kedushin after the Chalitza to either the Chalutza or one of her sisters? Or if the Cholitz himself does Chalitza to one of the sisters of the the tsaros of the chalutza. What is the din if ba echad mina achin al hachalutza or al tsarasa? What is the din? Can they have kedushin to her or not? Rish Lakish says Yivam al-shuk. I'm sorry, Eishes ach shalobo kamitzvah. All the Yivamas who did not do chalutza are prohibited to all the tsaros or to the chalutza herself because of Yivam al-shuk. Because of Eishes Ach Shalom Mokum Mitzvah. Because of Eishes Ach Shalom Mokum Mitzvah. She is an Isser Kares to the Yavam that did not do Chalitza. To the Yavam that did Chalitza, the Torah says, Kivin Shalabana Shalom Yivna, it turns into Isser Lav. But to the other brothers, it remains the Eishes Ach, she is Shalabanim. There's nothing to remove that Isser. There's no Mitzvah of Yibam here for them anymore. Isser remains. Says Rav Yechanan, no, that's not true. All the brothers are only asked for lav, just like the brother that did chalitza. Why? Because he did a shlichus for all the brothers, and she did a shlichus for all the tzaras. All the brothers are as if they're mishtatef in the chalitza, and all the tzaras as if they're mishtatef, and therefore the iser of kivin shalabana shufa yivna applies to all of them, and the iser of eshatach yeshalabanim is removed from all of them. The Yerushalmi seems to clearly say that the machlokes here is where the yibam or chalitza in this case removes the zikah l'mafreya from all the other brothers and the tzaras. The shlokish seems to say that all the others remain eshesach sheish l'banim. They have the same list of eshesach sheish l'banim. Whereas Rav Yechanan says no, mir kamidit meikara yiboy haicholus yiboy haicholus yiboy haicholus v'hash. That if she was once muteret to this man, how could she now become asura? Rish Lakish seems to say, no, she was never muteres. The tzaras were never muteres to the other brothers, because retroactively, once one brother does chalitza, then we say he's the one that did chalitza, all the others never had a zika. They never had a zika. Like we said, chalitza takes off zika from the other brothers, and if so, they remain b'israeshesach sheyeshol b'anem. Whereas Rav Yechanan seems to say, no, it doesn't seem to remove it retroactively from the brothers. The Yishalmi goes so far as saying that if the tzaras receive the tzaras receive kedushin from someone else, and afterwards one of the brothers says yibam, then that could retroactively remove the iser of yivam alashuk, because yibam or chalitza is taking effect retroactively. So over here it seems that Rav Yechanan's arguing on this whole yisod we're saying about yibam working retroactively and freeing up all the other brothers, because he says all the other brothers still have the same Isra of the Chalitz himself of Kivin Shalabani Shuvla Yivna, and nothing more than that. They don't have the Isra Kares anymore, because that Isra has been removed through the Chalitza, and that Chalitza worked for all the brothers, and it worked for all of the Tzaros. That seems to contradict what we've been saying and what's Mucha for many Mishnayos. The Achrayim discuss this. Two basic approaches of Yafin in his wonderful Biurim in the back of the Ritva. As Tassayan discusses this, he says that, well, this Gemara is discussing Dinim Doraisa. This Gemara is discussing Dinim Doraisa. I mean, Doraisa, you could say the Isra Eshesach is removed. But as far as Zika is concerned, Zika is talking about removing an Ishus that the Rabbanan created between the Yavam and the Yavama. That certainly could be removed retroactively. Even if Forgetman says that all the other brothers did have some sort of Nefila and Zika Midaraisa, which means that therefore the Isra Eshesach Sheshalbanim was removed for all the brothers and for all the tzaras. There was some sort of connection. There was a Nefila. However, the issues that the Rabbanim created, Kol Zikra, that issues could certainly be removed retroactively, even according to Yochanan. The issues, the connection, the bond between the Mavyesh Zikra, that could be removed retroactively, even though there certainly was an Afila, and the Oraisa level, this the din of Eshetach will be removed for all of them, and will not. We won't say retroactively that once one brother does Chalitza Yibam, all the other brothers are on the outside. Midrash, all the other brothers also had a part of the Yibam of Chalitza. But, as far as Zika is concerned, the issues that the Rabbanim created can be removed retroactively. Now, we pointed out that there are some cases where we seem to remove Zika even on a Zayrais level retroactively. For instance, in the case of Zika Kiknusa that we mentioned, and the case of the Mishnah in Kedushin, where he said, according to the Yerushalmi, we're going to remove Zika retroactively, B'misas HaYavam. Well, maybe that's following the Shita of Rish Lakish and Arif Yechanan. I don't know. The other derech is that the retroactive removal isn't fully retroactive. And this is what's Muchach. This is clear from the Mishnah and Chavav on the days that he started with. This is clear from the Mishnah of Arba Achin and Rashi and Chavzayin on the days. It points this out in the Rashash over there and Chavzayin on the days. Deals with this problem. Even if there's a retroactive removal, you cannot say it's fully retroactive. It could be what we call mikan lahavel mafreya. There's a lashon meiri like that, I believe, on Yud Zayin on the days. And even if there's a removal of zika mikan lahavel, it could be lamafreya, meaning that there really was some sort of a bond between the brothers and the yivama, even if the brothers didn't end up doing chalitza or yivam tzara. However, that's removed retroactively. Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish are arguing about how far the retroactive removal goes. Does it go so far as even to remove the nefila itself, to say that the Yavama had never even fell to the Yavam, and therefore the Isra Eshazach was never a Hutter? Or do we say that no, that we did remove the Isra Eshazach, like Rav Yechon says, so he said retroactively it was entirely removed from the brothers. So that could be the discussion over there. That is the point that we're not going to go into now. Kilos Yaakov talks about it, Ron Cutler talks about it, others talk about it, that the removal could be retroactive, but nevertheless, it's not fully retroactive.